Let's open our Bible to Ruth chapter 3, please. It's been a joy to be with you, enjoyed this morning. And I pray our Lord would be pleased to meet with us this evening. It's amazing these pictures that our God has given us of His love for His people, His sovereign unconditional love, as we see in this story of Ruth and Boaz. And he brings this neglected woman, this outcast, this stranger, and how everything happened to bring her, as we're going to see tonight, to the feet of Boaz. She's not looking for him in Moab, but he arranged all those things to bring her. She came just when barley harvest was beginning, and she goes to the field to glean, because when you're needy and you're hungry, you're going to go where there's food at. And you know where the food was at? It was in the field. And that's where she went, looking for something for her hungry soul. That's what gleaning is. It's when needy, helpless sinners, and they're beggars, they have no claims, no demands, and they come because they're needy and they know it and realize it by God's grace, and said, "Can I glean in your field?" And she gleaned in that field. And just so happened, here come Boaz. And he makes himself known to her gradually. He speaks to her. He speaks kindness. And she don't even know that he tells the servants, "Now you make sure you drop some handfuls on purpose just for her." Well, that's amazing, isn't it? That it's like David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And this was hers. Nobody else's. This was her, dropped on purpose for her. And he's making himself known in his grace and his mercy. And she goes back home with a whole armload of grain for her and Naomi. You know, Naomi seems like she's over here in the shadows somewhere, but you know, she plays a big part. She's God does not bypass means. He used Naomi to have a son who married a Moab girl, and then when her husband dies, she comes back to Bethlehem, Judah, because of Naomi. And then she goes gleans, and she comes back, and Ruth has no idea who Boaz is. She don't have a clue. And until God makes himself known, you don't have a clue who Christ is. You may know of him. You may have heard about him. And you've heard people talk about him. But Naomi says, "I'm going to tell you who he is. He's the kinsman redeemer." And you know, you go, "Well, what does that mean?" She explains it to her. Elimelech died. Malon died. Well, what's going to happen to Elimelech's name? What's going to happen to his family? Well, God stipulated in his law, this is God's law, that brother or the next of kin is responsible to go into that woman and marry her and raise up a child for that man that died, to raise up a child, the firstborn is for his name. And she told her that. And she's going, "Really?" And she says, "Ruth, here's our hope. That Boaz, he's a near kinsman, is if he will redeem what was lost." And I can tell you, when Adam fell, we lost it all. We became bankrupt widows, have no claims, strangers from the covenant of promise. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You answer, why did he choose Ruth? Why not Orpha? Why did one go back and one not? It's grace. Grace. And he brings her to this place. And here we see in chapter 3, after she's dwelt here with Naomi, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee?" And if you notice back in verse 9 of chapter 1, she said this to Ruth and Orpha when they first left Moab, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest each of you in the house of your husbands. Naomi says, I'm going to seek rest for you. And where's rest to be found? Only at the feet of Christ. Rest. You know what? When a person's under conviction, you know what it is? Their soul is in unrest. There's no contentment. There's no peace. There's nothing. And she says, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maiden thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So I take it if he's winnowing the barley, that the barley harvest is over. And someone asked me on the way to church, what does this mean? What he's doing, he's separating the wheat from the chaff. The vile from the precious. And you know what all the chaff does? All the chaff does is protect the wheat. And that when God's done with it, he just blows it away. And that's what, isn't it ironic that Boaz is there? He's there at the threshing floor. This is his wheat. This is precious to him. One day, well, the scripture says the fan is in the Lord's hands, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he purges it. What does he do? He separates the wheat from the chaff. And here we find our spiritual Boaz at his threshing floor where his wheat is at. And she, what's this? Where's Boaz at? Naomi knows. I thought about this one time. She may have been to the threshing floor. She may have went there to get grain, and she got it from Boaz. She knew where his threshing floor was at. She knew that was his grain. Ruth don't know where he's at, but Naomi does. Is that not a picture of the church? We tell sinners, where are you going to meet Christ at? If you was to tell a sinner, what were they to do? You go to where the gospel's preached, and you sit down there and wait. Because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Ruth don't know where he's at, but Naomi does. And she tells her. And that's how she finds out. Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. You know, it's always us coming down, isn't it? You go down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he hath done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell you what you're to do. She's telling Ruth, Ruth, this is what you must do. And it, Boaz didn't go to where she was at. Boaz is drawing her. He's bringing her to this place. And she has to go upon the light that Naomi has given unto her. And you know what she has to do? She either has to believe it or not believe it. She has to take her word for it. That's all she has. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Some people just say, well, I'm not going to do that. Okay. We will just starve. She said, all that you've commanded me, I will do. In verse 6, and she went down to the floor. She went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had told her to do. What am I to do when I get down there? Am I to demand it something from him? No. She told me, you go down there and you watch him. And where you mark the place where he lays, then when he lays down, you go and you uncover his feet and you lay down at his feet. And she went down, verse 6, to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drank and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid herself down. Oh, to lay at the feet of Christ, our kinsman redeemed. She lays there and she doesn't utter a word. You know, I thought about the woman who came to our Lord. You remember it said she washed his feet with tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. And it came to pass at midnight. We don't know how long she's laid there. It came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." She believed what Naomi told her, and she believed, listen, she believed that Boaz, the one she's laying at his feet, she believed that he was her kinsman redeemer. She believed it. That's why she's laying there. And that's why we tell sinners to come and see it and do what? Listen and wait for him to speak to you. I can't make God speak to you. He, in his sovereign grace, if he's pleased to, he'll speak to it. He speaks to Ruth. Spoke directly to her. And she asked him something. She's asking him if he will perform the act of the kinsman redeemer. When she says, "Would you spread your skirt over me? Would you be my protector? Would you be my deliverer? Would you be my redeemer? You're the one that has the right to redeem my family and my estate from perishing." And she asked him, "Would you spread your skirt over me?" And I thought about Ezekiel 16. "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, the time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." That's what she's asking. Would you show mercy to me? Would you spread your skirt over me? She's not demanding. She's asking just exactly what Naomi told her to do. I heard Henry talking. See, he was talking to this lady one time, and she was struggling about salvation. And she said, "I don't know if I've ever been saved or not." He said, "Have you ever asked him?" You know, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? You know what she's doing here? She's laying at his feet and she's asking him, Would you spread your skirt over me?" What's going to be his response? Verse 10, "And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter." Isn't it amazing how he calls her that dear word, said, "my daughter? For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." She's not running after every man. You know what her main concern is? Her main concern is for her family. That's what's her main concern. That's why she's not running to everything. She's not running after every wind of doctrine. She's only concerned for this one thing. This right here is getting the blessing of having him as her husband. "And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou hast requested." Can you imagine her laying at his feet? "I'll ask him, but what will he say?" "Well, he could tell me no. I'm just an old poor Moabite." And he says, "All that thou hast requested, I will do. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true," now what's this, "that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman that is nearer than I, Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, you lie down to the morning. He says there's only one stipulation. There's somebody that's nearer of kin than I am. And I must deal with him. I must talk to him. And if he will perform the part of the kinsman, well. But if he won't, I will. Whichever way, don't you worry about it. And what I see here, we're going to see that other kinsman is a picture of the law. He never told her to go deal with him. He said, I will. It all hangs on his shoulder. He said, I will do it. Well, how's he going to do it? This nearer kinsman, he has to be dealt with. The law of God has to be dealt with. And he tells her to lie down into the morning. I guarantee this is probably one of the best night's sleep she's had in a long time. And she lays at his feet all night long. And she lay at his feet unto morning, verse 14, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. And also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. He didn't let her go empty-handed. This is pictures of him distributing his grace and his mercy unto her. I can see what I picture here, you know, women that wear an apron, their apron's tied around them and they get the 2 ends of it. And I can see her holding her apron up and he's just filling it full. And he's sending her back where? He's sending her back to Naomi. She's not going back empty handed. And I see her heart's just bubbling up with joy. What's she going to tell Naomi now? I asked him to marry me and he said he would. He said, I'll do everything you requested. You know, why me? Why would God show you mercy? Why would he show you? Why would he single you out? And he said, bring me a veil, verse 15, that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she had held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then she said, now don't you see this, verse 18. You know, Naomi's come through a whole lot. And you think about this, why did she come through all this? The trying of your faith worketh patience. She said, sit still, my daughter, until thou shalt know how the matter will fall. And here's what she tells her. You know, Ruth still has questions. Still has questions. She still has doubts. And Naomi said, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. You don't have anything to worry about. If he said he would do it, you can mark it down, he will do it. He's not going to try to finish it, he's going to do it. And she said, this day. She says, Ruth, you just sit down. She might just say, well, you just sit down, we're going to eat some breakfast. And you won't have anything to worry about. My word to you this evening is, fear not. You don't have anything to worry about. If our God has determined to save you and keep you, he's going to keep you. He's going to protect you. He's going to do everything the law requires. He's going to fulfill it all. And I think it's ironic, the first part of the chapter, she said, shall I seek rest for you? It's what she told Ruth. And now at the end of the chapter, she says, he won't rest. He won't rest till his work's finished. And it all rests upon the shoulders of the kinsman redeemer. He's responsible. Basically, you know what he's telling Ruth? I'll take full responsibility for this. If I fail, I'm a failure. He's not a failure. Verse 1 of chapter 4. What's Boaz going to do? Then went Boaz up to the gate. Most of y'all know that at the gate of the city is where all the business transactions were carried about. Remember we read Lot, he was in the gate of the city. That's where he was at. He was like on the city council. So Boaz goes up to the gate and he sat down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, whom he said, "Ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here." And he turned aside and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, "Sit you down here." And they all sat down. What is this? This is a legal transaction. This redemption is redemption money. It is a legal binding transaction. And he said unto the kinsman, now what's this? Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, she selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, "Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, we'll redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." And the man said, the near kinsman said, "I will redeem it. I'll pay the price. I'm willing, I'm able, I'm the near kinsman, and I will redeem it." But hold on. Then said Boaz, there's a stipulation. What day that you buy the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, "I can't redeem it, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, because I cannot redeem it." Boaz does this willingly. He's here representing who? Ruth. He's here pleading for Ruth. He's here interceding for Ruth. He does this willingly. He does it publicly. This is not something that's done in a corner. This is done before all these witnesses. They're going to testify to what he's doing. And then the one says, "I cannot redeem it." The law of God has to be honored. He didn't just bypass the law and say, "Well, he's a near kinsman, we don't have to do him." He said, "No, he has to be dealt with." He told Ruth this. Redemption must honor God's law and God's righteous character. Listen, Romans 3, verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ." Grace is never exercised at the expense of righteousness. This man, that near kinsman, he has to be dealt with. But he says, "I can't redeem her unless I mar mine inheritance." The law has to be dealt with. The law can identify sin, but it can't forgive sin. The law slays, but it never saves. The law, with all of its demands, was established to shut us up to Christ in him alone. But the law can never redeem and save. It can't. Listen, Romans 8:3. "For what the law could not do." in that it was weak through the flesh. Here's the kinsman redeemer, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have come by the law. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It cannot. It cannot. And here we see that it cannot. He says, what I can't, Redeemer, what the law could not do and what the law would not do, he did. You see that picture? This is what men don't understand. They think that they are redeemed by their keeping the law. He just said here he can't. What the law could not do, and it can't. All the law says, you're guilty. You're condemned. You're getting exactly what you deserve. You've sold it. You sold everything. You're a widow. It's your own fault. That's what the law says. But he came to redeem her. And that's what he's going to do. And he deals with this man. Now verse 7. Now this was the manner in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and he gave it to his neighbor. And this was testimony in Israel. Now where's this at? Turn to Deuteronomy 25 and I'll show you. Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. She can't marry a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn, which she beareth, shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, he won't do that part of the kinsman, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand forward and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath loosed his shoe. When he gave his shoe, he was relinquishing his rights to redeem. He's relinquishing his rights. Therefore, verse 8, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. You know what he's going to do? He's going to buy it. Everything that was lost. The law only takes one thing into consideration. The justice, strict, absolute, unbending justice of God. It identifies sin, it exposes sin, it condemns it, and it has no other ability. And he says, I can't redeem it. But the closer relative, he pulls off his shoe to relinquish his responsibility. You remember when Moses stands before the burning bush? What did God tell Moses to do? Pull your shoe off. You're standing on holy ground. And Gil said that Boaz stepped into that shoe and said, I will redeem her. You think about this. What the law could not do. Why was the law given? Till the seed should come, who is Christ. And he came to redeem and save his people. The law is going to be satisfied. The law is going to be honored. And he's going to pay the price, the full price of redemption for all of Elimelech's house. The whole thing, he's going to buy it all. You said, how can he do that? He's a kinsman. He has the right. He has the sovereign right as our kinsman redeemer. He's able and he's willing to do everything that's required. The law demands it. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, watch this, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, the firstborn of Elimelech, have I purchased to be my wife. How is she going to be his wife? He bought her. He purchased her. He paid the redemption. And he did it to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place you are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and in the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman, now watch this, that is to come into thine house like Rachel and Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. It's all about what he did. It's all about what Christ did. And let thy house be like the house of Perez. Isn't it ironic that the Spirit of God makes reference to that house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this woman? In verse 13, Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. He bought her. You mean that old Moabite? And you think about it for a minute. You think about everything that's had to happen to bring her to this place. She is now his wife because he bought her. You're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to those that believe, he's precious. You think Boaz was precious to Ruth? Oh, yeah. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And listen to what they say. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. You know what Naomi is now? She's a grandma. Her grandchildren are a blessing. Oh, yeah, they're a blessing. This woman went from a poor widow, her husband dead, and her two sons. And they said, he's the restorer of your old age. And you can you see her as she holds this baby? Said, look what the Lord's done. Look what he's given me. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. Ruth's better than seven sons. She hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We went through this a while back, and you know what someone, a man in our church, pointed out? Do you know David was only three generations from being a Moabite? And you ever notice when you read there in the life of David, when David was being chased by King Saul, and he goes down into the cave of Adullam, and it said his family came to him. I don't think it was safe for him to live in Bethlehem because of King Saul. He hated them. He despised them. And they go down to David. You know what David did? He took them to Moab. Well, why would he take them to Moab? That's where his grandma's from. Isn't that amazing? They're not safe in Judah, but they're safe in Moab. And can't you see? Ruth is now married to Boaz. And she says, one day Boaz says, okay, Ruth, I want you to meet my mama. And she goes, she won't understand what I was like. More the tales I can tell her being a Moabite and how God brought me in his grace to your feet and you showed me mercy and you redeemed me and you bought back everything that was gone and you gave me hope and you gave me life and you gave me your name. I said, I want to introduce you to my mama. Ruth, this is my mama. Her name's Rahab. What do you think Rahab would say? Let me tell you a story. Isn't that amazing? Listen, let me read on. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. And Nahshon begat Salmon, who was married to Rahab. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. It happened in the days of the judges when everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes and God is raising him up a king. And that's what our Lord's doing in this day in which we live. He's exalting his darling son. Isn't it amazing? You read these things, you read about Rahab, you read about Tamar, you read about Rahab, you read about Ruth, and then you read about Bathsheba. As someone today, well, who was Solomon's mom? Well, Bathsheba. Those four women listed in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those women, I don't know how much they knew, but I think most of them thought, well, I hope I'm the one through whom the seed will come. That's why if they weren't able to get children, it was such a disgrace and they felt so condemned. And God chooses this Moabite, this nobody, this stranger from an accursed place and brings her and puts her in the lineage of Christ. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And he came into this world, why? To redeem and save his people. And he's finished the work. It's done. The law is satisfied. We're not under the law. We're not condemned. It's satisfied. Can't you say, somebody say, okay, Boaz, you don't have any right to marry her. Oh, yes, he does. She's his. I bought her with a price. You mean you're not ashamed of that old Moabite? No, he's not ashamed of her. Ain't you glad he's not ashamed of you? The never failing love of our darling Savior, our kinsman, Redeemer. There is a man sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. It is the man, Christ Jesus. Suffered, bled, and died to redeem and save his people. He paid the debt. He didn't pay part of it, he paid all of it. And he said, your witnesses this day, she's my wife. You mean you want to marry her? Yes, sir. Because the law has to be honored. And he honored it. Thank God he did. Amen.